You know, there's so many different things that make Easter a special day: family and friends, food and tradition, Easter lilies, wonderful music, all of you here present today to gather and celebrate this very special day. But as I was thinking and praying about this time together that we were going to have weeks ago, music continued to come to my mind, and I continued to listen to it in so many different forms. Music is such a powerful force in our lives, isn't it? It can touch us in so many different ways. It can move one to celebration, or it can move you to tears. It can be incredibly moving, and you can actually break some pretty good dance moves to certain pieces as well, too. At least some people can. I'm not one of them, but some people can. I try, that's right. You know, it's interesting, even in nursing homes, there have been people who have not been able to speak for years. And yet when they played a melody that they were familiar with, they were able to sing the words to it. How incredible is that? Many people, in sharing about their near-death experiences who have come back from an experience of heaven, have shared how they heard a music that was literally out of this world. And that is for sure. But there was very something very special about the music of heaven for them, and it was interesting how so many of them said the same thing, that music seemed to permeate the whole place, that there was a song about heaven of praise and glory, and that this song not only enveloped heaven, but it also enveloped their being and everybody else who was there. How awesome is that? It makes me even more excited about going there one day. There is, I believe, a profound connection between the musical and the spiritual. Very deep, very powerful, and very real. Rich Mullins, a gifted Christian musician who died in a tragic car accident at the age of 41, wrote very many inspirational songs, including Sing Your Praise to the Lord, Awesome God, Our Deliverer, and Jesus. And it is that song, Jesus, that was actually sang during the prelude that I've been listening to over the past few weeks and has continued to come into my spirit and speak to me. So I'm going to share with you not only, of course, from the gospel, but some reflections from that very powerful song. There's one particular line that has stuck with me from that song, and it's this: "It feels like the devil has rolled a stone over my heart. Can you roll that stone away?" And that's the question I want to pose for each one of us here this morning on this Easter morning of 2014. Can Jesus Christ roll the stone away that might be over your heart, whatever that might be? Can he roll that away today? You know, on that first Easter morning, I'd like to believe that the sun was shining in a very special way, glistening upon the tomb of Jesus. There were three women who we read about in the story today who came to anoint his dead body. They had bought some special spices. They wanted to complete the Jewish burial rite upon a man that they had followed, a man that they believed was the Messiah, someone they still very deeply loved. And as they came to the tomb in their excitement, an important question dawned upon them. Who's going to roll the stone away for us? That's a very important question, because that is a big stone. Let me tell you, it's like a boulder. According to the scriptures, Joseph of Arimathea actually received the body of Jesus from the cross. He wrapped his body in fine linen cloth, and he applied burial ointments and laid his body in a private tomb, hewn from rock in the garden of his house nearby. A large stone would have been rolled to cover the tomb's entrance, and this burial stone would have been very difficult to move intentionally. They didn't want people being able to get into their tombs and to rob them. They wanted to protect the dead, and so these stones were huge. They were hard to move. In fact, in some of my readings about these tombs, the burial stone would go against the tomb at an angle, so that you need some kind of leverage in order to get it back off. So this was a very important question that the women were asking right as they were coming to the tomb, who's going to roll the stone away for us? Who's going to be able to do that? As we hear the rest of the lesson, we hear the following: but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were amazed. I imagine so. Can you imagine going, if you will, to a funeral home for a funeral, and you found out they're risen, they're no longer here? You'd be amazed, wouldn't you? We'd all be amazed. And they were amazed when they went to the tomb that morning to anoint the dead body of Jesus. There's this guy in this white robe glistening. He's obviously not somebody who's from earth, an angel. And he says to him, he is risen. He's not here. See where he used to lay. And oh, by the way, he's going on ahead of you. He's going to see you later on. And they are alarmed. They just don't know what to think. So many words when you look at this passage, depending on the translation that you read. It talks about them being afraid. It talks about them being alarmed. It talks about them being bewildered. It talks about them being stunned. So many different words to explain this feeling of just utter amazement at what has just taken place. And that's what we celebrate this Easter Sunday. What we celebrate is the reality, in the words of a movie that's out right now, God is not dead. Yep, God, that's who I'm talking about. I'll take that as an amen, brother. God, that's right. God is not dead, but Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. He is risen from the dead. Now, you know, none of us were there that first Easter morning. We weren't privy to the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, lo, those many days after he had risen from the dead. But Jesus says to you and me here today, and all who have believed in him and yet not seen him, blessed are you that believe and have not seen. And so I would invite you along with me to invite the blessedness that God has given us. It is a blessing to believe and to have not seen him. It is a blessing from Almighty God to have faith in this hour. And in conquering death, Jesus is confirmed as Messiah and as God's Redeemer. Our Redeemer lives. Love that song. Our Redeemer lives, and he is mighty to save. Amazing. This is what amazing is. Amazing is when the supernatural touches the natural. That is when amazing things happen. Amazing is when God reaches out to you supernaturally and touches your life in profound and incredible ways, in ways that are life-changing, in ways that will leave you and me never, ever the same, in ways that will lead us bewildered, stunned, and amazed at the way that God is moving. And so I come back to those words in Rich Mullins' song. Jesus, can you roll that stone away? And let me make it more personal. Jesus, can you roll my stone away? Because, beloved, at the end of the day, that's really important, isn't it? Can you show up for me? I read about you in the book. I hear this priest talking about you, about these miracles and all these great things that you've done. But can you do it for me? I heard that you walked on water. That would you teach me to walk like you did? I want to walk with you. Rich went on to sing, I heard that you taught the lame to dance. I'm holding out my withered hand to you, waiting for you to touch me. I've read that you've calmed angry waves. Can you teach me how to listen and obey? Because there's a storm inside of me. I read that they rolled a stone over your cold, dark grave. It feels like the devil has rolled a stone over my heart. Can you roll that stone away? Well, I've got some good news for you here today. I got some great news for you here today. And that is Jesus can roll your stone away. In fact, it's not a question of whether he can roll the stone away. The question is, are you and I willing and inviting him to roll the stone away? He's just waiting for our yes. I have an amazing story to share with you. It's a true story, not a story that happened thousands of years ago, but just a few days and a few weeks ago. We had our Lenten series on prayer called When God's People Pray. After the first night of the series, a woman came into the kitchen we were finishing up, and she was in tears. I thought to myself, great, what a great way to start the series. This is not a good sign. And I asked her, what are you crying about? What's going on? And at the beginning of our series, we watched this wonderful DVD testimony of how someone was lost in darkness in their own tomb in their life and broken, and how somebody had prayed for them and reached out to them, and they came to Christ. It was just a wonderful testimony. And this woman shared with me and another woman in the kitchen that she had been praying for a friend of hers for decades, that he would come to Christ, that he would come out of his tomb in his darkness and be saved, but he never did. And she felt like such a failure. And she felt like she was so little. Her faith wasn't great enough. I mean, you just add to the sentence, and she was in tears. She was broken. And so we prayed with her. And we were just with her in her brokenness and just asked that the Lord would move in her friend's life. I got a call from her a week ago Saturday, right before the last Wednesday night of our Lenten Soup and Bread series. And when I talked to her on the phone, I could tell it was, and guess what? She was in tears again. I thought, what's going on here? I'm feeling for this woman. I want to pray for her that God would be with her and give her strength. And my heart was broken that she was crying so. I said, what are you crying about? What's going on? She goes, Father Joe, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I said, what's a miracle? Let me in on what the miracle is. I want to know. And she said, you know that friend I was telling you about at the beginning of the Lenten series that I was in tears about? Well, I went to his funeral just a couple of days ago. And during the message, the pastor shared with us how on his deathbed he had accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. Our God is amazing. Our Lord is awesome. Our God is just waiting for us to pray and believe that he can roll the stone away in our lives. And beloved, I could share so many other stories with you of incredible things that have happened over just the past few weeks, but I don't have time. There are so many other things that we have to do today, aren't there? But I share that story with you today to proclaim to you with all of my heart that, hallelujah, he is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah, with healing in his wings, waiting for us to pray to him that he would roll the stones away from the tombs of our hearts and the tombs of other people's hearts, even on their deathbed, even right before their last gap. He has heard the prayers of the decades. He has heard the cries of our heart, and our Lord stands ready to answer those prayers in the most tear-filled, joyful, and miraculous ways. Jesus, can you roll that stone away? Oh, yes, he can. And yes, he will. He can do it right now, in this moment. And that's what we're going to pray for. Just a moment, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I'm just going to invite you along with me to be open to the Lord's presence, to be open to his Spirit, that he might touch us wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, that the Lord might roll our stones away.